Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and online I have is Mawlana Muhammad Ali from Marilbag. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, how are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Mawlana, we can continue the program.
Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلناهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with total dedication and consciousness in our mind and in our heart and with true appreciation to continue sending these blessings upon us. And we acknowledge whatever kindness Allah Ta'ala has shown upon us. He alone can show such kindness. We, because of our own sinful nature, are not deserving of it. Therefore, we beg Him to continue showing His kindness upon us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to deny us and not to deprive us of any of His kindness on account of our own sinful nature. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down His special mercy on us and on the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to every believer from among the mu'mineen, from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to every believing man and to every believing woman. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala sends down His mercy on them, protects them, and preserves them, and forgives them, and elevates them from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our topic is the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the light of His beautiful names. And the name that is being discussed at this point in time is the name Al-Imam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed such beautiful qualities of leadership, because he was not only the leader of the Arabs, but he was the leader of the non-Arabs. He was not only a leader for his time, but he is a leader for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. He was not only a leader in the masjid, but he was a leader beyond the masjid. He is a leader in every aspect of human life. And he led the way, and he showed the way, and we are discussing how he is a leader, and was a leader on the battlefield, being Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission was to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with utmost love and compassion. In the face of the challenges that was there, the enemies that were out to kill him, to harass him, to persecute him, to oppress him, with all that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to overcome them was his sifat and quality of Rahman, of Rahim, of showing mercy to them. And he had to use such ways and means whereby the ultimate object and goal would be to win all these people over and to bring them into the deen, so that the basis for the future spread of deen could be established, and that the way for the spread of deen for the future could be opened up. And for that we find whenever he was faced with enemies that were poised to annihilate him and Islam and the Muslims, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam employed various military tactics where he outsmarted the enemy. And the beauty of this entire exercise from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned, that he did not go to a military school, he did not join any cadet corps, he did not join any boy scouts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan child who grew up caring for those that were around him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not an aggressive person. He was not faced with situations in his early life where he had to fight and he was faced with violence and he was faced with difficulty. No, he did not grow up that way. And now suddenly he was faced with these situations. So this is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala guided him. Allah guides the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, whom Allah make the leaders. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمَا إِمَّةً. Allah says, we have made them the imams. not anybody else. We have made them the Anbiya. Yahduna bi amrina, and they guide the people by our command. So, alhamdulillah, by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the people in these difficult and challenging situations of war in the most beautiful way, with the most intelligent and witty maneuvers that alhamdulillah took Islam forward. And this discussion is not about war as we are talking. This is not about battle. What we're talking here are the leadership qualities and the beautiful maneuvers that were employed and executed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a situation of war. So we're not discussing the war per se, but we make reference to the war in the battles that he was faced. We know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in a number of expeditions where he personally commanded the forces and put various things into place. Those are known as the Ghazawat. That means those expeditions in which he himself participated, and there are many in number. So, we discussed various Ghazawat, or rather we analyzed the military strategy and leadership of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these Ghazawat. Last week we discussed Hudaybiyah. It was a war that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with without even asking for it, without even intending. He went for Umrah, and suddenly he was faced with the prospect of a war, an imminent war, and he had to avert it because that is not what they came for. And there was a serious war situation that came about, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have actually used some of his military skills and overpowered the enemy in Makkah, but he did not use that. In fact, Hudaybiyah, we mentioned, is the stepping stone, and it was the door where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into a treaty, into a peace treaty with the enemy, and he outsmarted them, and he defeated them psychologically in such a way, and he very smartly broke their bases and their morale and their backbone, that after this they had no real strength to stand on, and they had no excuse to undertake any further military expeditions. And that paved the way in a very short while and in a short time for the conquest of Makkah. So, today we will analyze Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's moves. Again, we are discussing him as a leader and how he conquered Makkah. Now we must remember the conquest of Makkah was the cream of the battles. In this way, that the expedition, it was not a battle, it didn't have to be a battle, because Makkah was where the mu'mineen were residing. Makkah is the place which was the center of hidayat and the center of guidance. And Makkah is the place which is the markaz, as we'll say, of all the mu'mineen, and all, it was a focal point and will be till the day of Qiyamah. And this was out of the hands of the mu'mineen who had to leave and go away for hijrah, now to get Makkah back and to crush the aggressive, arrogant power of the enemy for once and for all. Now, a situation in a war like that, in this day and age, if somebody has to sit and think how it will be done, they will envisage and they will start imagining this needs a lot of military might. This is going to need a lot of military machinery. It's going to need a lot of, you know, planes and whatever might be, helicopter gunships. And they're going to have to strategically place their soldiers all over the place, and they're going to start bombing, and they're going to do like this, and they're going to do like that, and they're going to, for once and for all, like how they're doing at this point in time, the enemy forces, they are trying everything. So they use all these kind of things. Now, it was a major, major offensive. And this was, like we say, one that was crucial to the future expansion of Islam. The central point of Muslimin had to be recaptured and taken and purified for once and for all from every kind of shirk. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried it out, but it was on the basis of Hudaybiyah. That's why the historians have mentioned that actually Fathul Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, started at Hudaybiyah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited the enemy who were poised to attack him towards a peace treaty. And we mentioned that it was a peace treaty that seemed outwardly to be very, very biased in favor of the enemy and very biased against the mu'mineen. To such an extent, we read how demoralized the Sahaba had become for that moment until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pacified them. And he says, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry. We are not oppressed. We are not overcome. We are not overwhelmed. Allah ta'ala knows best. And thereafter we find, when everything was now calm, when the believers started crossing over into Mecca, and when the disbelievers started crossing over in Medina, when the various mu'mineen and disbelievers interacted with each other in the tribal areas between Mecca and Medina, when they all had the opportunity to study each other's ways and look at Islam from a close quarter, the groundwork was being done. It was all on the basis of Hudaybiyah. So this was the masterstroke of a military genius, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a military strategist par excellence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the interim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew it's just a matter of time that the kuffar and the munafiqeen with whom he had entered into a peace treaty are, by their very nature and devious nature, going to violate it. They're going to violate the treaty. So from the side of the believers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just told the believers, just carry on with the respect and the dignity that Islam has commanded you to carry on with. And then we find that some incidents came about, which we're not going into the details of now, but it amounted to the violation of the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah from the side of the munafiqeen and the kuffar and the mushrikeen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam merely sent them a message that you people have violated the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, and therefore we are now announcing to you for once and for all that regard that treaty as null and void, and he left the matter at that. This really put the kuffar of Makkah, the mushrikeen, in a state of panic, and they started wondering, now what? They even sent one of their senior leaders to Makkah, to Madinah Munawwara, to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan, that time, was not a believer, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not entertain any of Abu Sufyan's proposals or even his questioning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just remained silent. This was part of his military strategy for the future conquest of Mecca. Abu Sufyan went to this Sahabi, he went to that Sahabi, he got no answer, he came back to Mecca without joy. But they did not know what's going to happen next. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did what he did, alhamdulillah. And he surprised them that without informing anybody about his intention and without informing anybody about his destination, he got the Muslimin ready, and he prepared an army of 10,000 people without anybody knowing. So this was that move, surprise move. There was a little leak that came out, and one of the Sahaba unwittingly, unknowingly, actually wanted to inform his relatives in Makkah Mukarramah, but it was not done maliciously. The story of Hatib ibn Abi Balta, which we'll discuss on another occasion. But nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered these people, 10,000 of his faithful followers, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and this was what is being mentioned here. Without anyone knowing, he made the move, and he came onto the doorstep of the holy city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And overnight, the kuffar were surprised. They say, now what is happening here? At night, when they noticed this huge group of camp fires that were being lit on the outskirts of Makkah, they could not understand. They were guessing that is this group, is it that group, is it this tribe, is it that tribe, and they did not know what hit them. And the next thing we find, that some of the scouts of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam apprehended the leaders of the mushrikeen, amongst whom was Abu Sufyan. This sudden move, subhanallah, overnight, an entire army at your doorstep, arriving there and prepared to take over. And they took over the next day without shedding a single drop of blood. Executing such strategy and such military maneuvers and moves from both sides of Makkah, we find that they entered and they overpowered Makkah without any violence, without any aggression, and they took over the holy city and they captured what was the center of Islam, which is supposed to be the center of Islam for the future, in such a beautiful way, can only have been executed by one who has been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead the ummah and to lead them in a situation like that. The morale of the Quraysh at that time was so broken because they were not prepared. They were these people who used to be making a very, very big noise and, you know, planning and campaigning and raising money and conniving with the Munafiqeen of Medina and with other tribes, and always looking for an opportunity from whether they've been doing this, trying to annihilate the Muslim force for once and for all, and suddenly they were just caught unawares. The Muslimin were on their doorstep, subhanAllah, and they did not know which way to turn. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the holy city of Makkah al-Mukarramah without killing anybody, instructing the noble Sahaba not to engage in any violent behavior, not to kill anybody. Yes, if you are confronted and if anybody wants to aggressively kill you, then in self-defense you must do what you have to do. But that also did not come about. And he did not destroy a single house in Makkah Mukarramah. He did not harm a single enemy. He did not take away their honor. He did not humiliate them. Subhanallah, such beauty and with such grace, Makkah was conquered. And he showed them such great heartedness, such magnanimity, as you say, such big heartedness, such kindness, that that in itself assisted in the victory, that even if they wanted to do anything, they could not do anything, because they found the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so great and so magnanimous in forgiving them for all the persecution that they had carried out. So subhanallah, this is another strategy. You know, normally we have heard that when the enemy force finally overpowered the opponents in whichever historical battle you want to see, then there was always this underlying rancor and hatred and this seething and simmering anger and rage which they unleashed. And whenever they unleashed it, after conquering any place, we find that the honor of people was not left. The honor of women, the innocence of children was not regarded. The respect and the value of property was not taken into account until they had taken out all the simmering anger from the bottom of their hearts. But now, here in Medina, in Makkah Mukarramah, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam executed this entire expedition with such intelligence, with such beauty, and with such grace that he entered and he took over Makkah. Now this is what we're talking about, a leader which can never ever be found anywhere in the history of Islam. Immediately after that, we find that the expedition of Hunayn had to take place. And Hunayn, we must remember, was a city or a place between Makkah and Taif. And the mushrikeen that were living there were extremely arrogant and had harbored the greatest amount of hatred against the mu'minin. And when they heard that the mu'minin have now taken over Makkah Mukarramah, just like that, they said, we are not going to allow that. Before anything else can happen, let us go and fight the mu'minin in Makkah Mukarramah and let us overpower them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard about this particular plan and this campaign of the people of Hunayn, like we said, Hunayn is between Makkah and Taif, and the people of Taif, the famous tribes that we know there, were the tribes of the Hawazin and the Saqif, and they were not ordinary people when it came to war matters. They were warriors, and they were always looking forward to situations of war, and they said to themselves, we are not the people of Makkah. We're not the docile people. We are not going to take this lying down. We're not going to wait for Muhammad and his army to spread and in a matter of time come to us. Let us get ready and let us overpower them. So they made elaborate preparations. We're not going to the battle. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Makkah Mukarramah and he hears about this He did not go back to Medina. A lot of times, when we are reading history, many times we understand or we think that the Battle of Hunain was fought separately on another occasion. It basically followed from Makkah Mukarramah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not prepared for that particular expedition. In fact, it is mentioned in the books of Sirah and in the books of history that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually got a group of, actually to ask the people of Makkah to hire weapons to them, that you know what, there's an imminent attack going to be taking place on Makkah, and before that can take place, let us go and meet the enemy. And alhamdulillah, we find that with this group that got ready, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his initial group of 10,000 and another 4,000 people joined him. And from these 4,000 also, there were those who were not the friends of the Muslimin. Though Makkah was conquered, though these people had accepted defeat, they joined, but they joined with two hearts that we will actually see in which direction the winds go, in which direction the battle goes. If it happens that the Muslimin win, that means we won, we also Muslims. And if it seems to go in the opposite direction, because this is not going to be an ordinary match, here the Muslimin are going to be against the tribes, the famous warrior tribes of the Hawazin and the Saqif and the Banu Ghaffan also. They were also in that area, also known to be fighters and warriors. So they also joined. So 14,000 people went. And the people of Hunain, actually, the tribes that come, they had already taken up positions in the valleys of Hunain as the Muslimin were proceeding. And this is where we find the Quran makes mention that, you know, they looked at their numbers, the Mu'mineen at that time. They looked at their numbers and what they said. That today we are very, very big in number. We've got a lot, 14,000, you know, and we've got a lot of weapons also. So we are really going to finish up those people based on our material strength. Is ajabatkum kathratukum falam tughni ankum shay'a. And because of this statement, Allah Ta'ala wants to nurture them and make their tarbiyah, that you don't look at your military and your material strength. You must only have your gaze on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the mu'mineen were proceeding in the direction of these armies that were perceived to be further up the road, we find that they had taken up positions earlier at a closer place, and they ambushed the mu'mineen in such a way that for a few moments again, like how it happened at Uhud, the mu'mineen were thrown into total disarray. Now what was going to happen? And this is where we're looking at. One is the plan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and confront the group at the Hawazin and al-Saqif towards Ta'if. And now he is suddenly faced with another situation where his warriors and the fighters and the mujahideen are surrounded and ambushed suddenly and thrown into total disarray, taken by surprise and ambushed by the enemy. Immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to put plan B into action, and he made announcements, and he had Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to announce and call those people that where are those who had pledged their allegiance on the occasion of the Bay'atul Ridwan, for example, and where are those Ansar who had proclaimed and who had declared and who had promised that they will give their lives, and where are these and where are those people? Different people were called in the loud voice by Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it mentioned that his voice went like an electric current through the confused forces of the believers at that time. And immediately they all again composed themselves, and they once more regrouped, and they took up positions, and they started resisting. And this is where we find that this gave them strength. And once more they were reminded that we fight only with the help of Allah, not in any material kind of strength. So now the point of this entire battle is this, that to be able to, in a little while, regroup and to instill morale into the fighters and to get them into their positions and to consolidate them, this could only have been done by someone who was a truly, you know, an excellent military planner and strategist. And this was something that was not even expected. But immediately we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put things into place, and the enemy once again had to face confrontation and resistance, and we know the outcome of the Battle of Hunain was this, that they were finally overcome and overpowered by the forces of Mu'mineen who were assisted by the divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this battle also we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used military strategy and always he had plan B. So he did not allow the Mu'mineen to be wasted and to be defeated, but immediately they were brought and they were reminded about Allah ta'ala and how he got them together. And once again they put up their resistance and the enemy on that side thought they had ambushed. They did not have another plan in place that if their ambush fails, what they need to do. And in a little while, alhamdulillah, the mu'mineen overpowered them. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who did these kind of things at Hunain and at Makkah and at Hudaybiyah and where else gave their lives so that today, alhamdulillah, we are proud mu'mineen. We are the followers of the prestigious deen of Islam. May Allah give them all a befitting reward. Jazahumullahu anna wa namutin Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsanul jazah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Maulana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'un Nabi program with Maulana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.